The podcast which you are about to listen to is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of four youths, and I use the term youth very loosely. It is all the more tragic in that they were young at some point, but now they discuss the horror movies of decades past, filled with the nostalgia that surfaces feeling the full brunt of their mortality. They could not have expected, nor would they have wished, to hear as many of the flubbed names and forgotten movie titles as they were to hear that night. For them, an idyllic summer evening recording became a nightmare. The events of that night were to lead to the discovery of one of the most bizarre podcast episodes any podcatcher could grasp. Good evening, and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten, always getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Hello.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast, Dreadly.
Hello.
So, what you doing? What you watching? How you been, Travis?
It's getting to be summertime here, so I'm getting out of the house more, weirdly. I'm not sure what that's all about. I'm going into this thing called nature, I think is what they call it.
There's bugs there. Get out.
There are some. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. But I also have been... I've been doing a rewatch recently of the Mission Impossible series because there's a new one of those coming out this summer. The movie series. I also am going to be watching for the first time all of the Fast and the Furious franchise because I have seen one of those movies so far.
Me too.
And so that is going to be an interesting thing. You'll want to maybe start following my YouTube channel where I will be posting my thoughts about that.
Enjoy the ride.
And I've been playing, I booted up Control and I've been playing through that again because I love that game. And I'm gearing myself up in anticipation for something we'll talk about in a little bit.
Ooh, exciting. Faye, what you doing? How you watching? Where are you going?
Well, in the limited time I have to myself lately, I've been watching some movies. I watched Blood Rise 5, which was just released on Screambox. I've always enjoyed the subspecies movies. It's Subspecies 5 Blood Rise. Yes. I also watched Creepypasta, which is on Screambox. It's an anthology series using creepypasta, stuff that people like to paste and try to copy and paste and try to scare people with. Rewatched
at a bad Italian restaurant.
Also rewatched the Japanese horror One Missed Call. I rewatched the first one because I want to watch 2 and 3. I've never seen them. One of the other new things that they've released on Screambox is Hollywood Dreams and Nightmares, the Robert Englund story. So yes. that was so good. And it was nice to see it from his point of view, everything that he went through and did for everything for all of his movies, not just the Freddy Krueger stuff. So all the way back from the beginning. So that was cool. But that's about it.
I really want to watch that Robert Englund documentary. I got to get on that soon.
Definitely recommend it if you're a fan.
Dreadly. How are the games and the movies and the stuff? You've, in 2 weeks, been done.
Oh, well, I had busy 2 weeks because I had to entertain some duckies at my house.
Quick, quick.
I did show them Chucky season 1 because, you know.
They like?
I think so. At least 50% of them did. And the other 50% should just let me know if they did. But yeah, so I had less time than usual, but I did manage to play a little bit of Final Fantasy VII, where I am now at the beginning of the final dungeon. So that'll be over soon. Just in time for having seen the trailer that they showed at the Summer Game Fest for the remake part 2, which...
Rebirth.
Yeah. That'll look great. Like, the open world part looked a little bit better than the original. Just a little bit.
Just a little.
I saw a post on Twitter where they had, like, the screenshot of the... when you exit Midgar in the original versus now. Like, yep, just a little bit difference. Yeah, yeah.
It's what over 20 years of technology can do.
Yeah. But yeah, as always, that will be out on PlayStation first, so I'll just have to wait anyway. Bastards. Also managed to play a little bit of System Shock, and another remaster that came out. Finally.
How is that? I've been wanting to get it. I love the original.
Well, then you'll love this. It is System Shock, but with updated graphics, but still good. Plays like the original, I'd say. It's very wonky.
Well, I'll just have to wait for it on sale then.
It's not a full-priced game, I think, to begin with. So, yeah. It was fun for what I played. I played through the entire first area, let's say. Then I kind of had enough. I'm not in a shooter state of mind, I guess. I don't know.
It's all right.
But yeah, it definitely looked good, played good. So I'll go back to that later. And then movies and TVs. Well, I watched Village of the Damned, the 90s version. I love that movie.
That is I had forgotten that movie existed, but talk about creepy kids to the.
Oh, yeah. Hungry.
Kids that I like.
Uh-huh.
What's funny is we found the main kid, you know, the one kid who's like solo in the movie. He grows up and he's like one of the kids in the remake of that movie that doesn't actually exist. You know.
Yes.
The remake that doesn't exist. You get what I'm saying, right?
Ah, that one. Yes.
Yeah.
A hypothetical Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes, the hypothetical Nightmare on Elm
Street. Movie that they should have made at one point, but somehow didn't. Yes, but it's very weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. And also started watching Creepshow Season 3, because somehow forgot Season 3 existed, and we hadn't watched that yet. Gotta say I loved the second episode where they had the horror museum kind of thingy with all the nods and
God. Yes. So good. Oh my God. Just like complete fan service to horror fans, but
yep.
Just yeah. You gotta get on that Creepshow thing. If you've got Shudder, it's well, you know, if you already got Shudder, it's free, right?
I don't think I've watched season 3 yet. I think I've only watched the first 2.
Well, better get on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we could be like, hey, did you see that one? Yeah, I saw the one.
That one with the thing? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That thing that happened. That was wild.
I'd really like to have some more. Give us more Creepshow.
Yeah. When is the...
It's been a while.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, actually. I hope so.
that is it for me. So over to you.
So I watched a bunch of things as usual because that's what I do now. I finally watched the movie A Wounded Fawn, which came out, I believe, 2021 or 2022. No, 2022. And it's a decent movie. There's some issues with it, but it's basically one of those, like, you know, don't go for a weekend alone with a guy you barely know because he might be a psycho. And this isn't a spoiler. He, you know, you literally know he's a psycho from like 5 minutes in. But
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't do that. Lots of very nice imagery, and there's like psychological stuff to it, which is nice. But what else did I watch? Oh, added to Shudder, June 1st. There are a bunch of movies added. So I rewatched American Werewolf in London. I watched Ginger Snaps Back, The Beginning, which is the third Ginger Snaps movie for some reason. I don't know why I skipped the second one, but whatever. It's somebody told me it was good. I don't think that that's true, but I could be wrong. I didn't like it, but I'll watch it again, I guess, someday in the far-flung future. The Beginning. I just want to point out that it's The Beginning, which usually I like. Like, if you go to that the Tremors movie that's like they go back in time. Like, I really love that Tremors. That's a good one. But this wasn't. So, and I also watched the first Howling movie.
I sense a theme here.
Yes. Apparently they added a bunch of werewolfy stuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched the first Howling. It's that movie is horny as fuck.
Welcome to Howling.
Yeah. The only thing hornier. Series. The only thing hornier was part two, Your Sister is a Werewolf, which I fell asleep, so I missed half of it, so I'll have to report back on the second half of Your Sister is a Werewolf. Or the last 30 minutes, I should say. But damn. Wolves are really, really horny. Yeah. I also rewatched Slumber Party Massacre and Slumber Party Massacre 2.
The best
just
one.
Just for S's and G's, because I love those movies. Every time I watch part 2, by the way, I just want to say, as much as I didn't like it the first time that I watched it, I like it more every time that I watch it. And it's really weird. I don't know how you can like
it's a masterpiece.
It's because you're beginning to like musicals, and that movie is a musical.
Oh God!
No, it's called Stockholm Syndrome. That's the term you're looking for.
No, it did not kidnap me. But I get what you're saying. I also going back to like some more new-ish stuff, I watched the new movie on Shudder, Influencer, which is about an influencer who goes to like Thailand. And
that's a friend. Pretty,
huh?
She meets a friend.
Yes, she meets a friend. That is a twisted movie. It's very beautiful because it's all like on the island and stuff. And I really liked it. And then I followed it up by watching what the producer of that movie had also like written and directed, this movie from 2021 called Superhost. And wow, that movie, another Shudder exclusive, both of them. That movie I liked even more for whatever reason. That is like two, they're like YouTube people that go to different, like hosting places like Airbnbs and things like that, and they all videotape it, and they go, and they're like a married couple, and they go to this one place, and well, you know, stuff happens.
Oh boy,
creepy stuff.
I have to check that one out.
It's got Barbara Crampton in it. I'm just saying, she has a nice little cameo in there, and it is great. And the main act, well, one of the main actresses in this movie, I just think she's fantastic. Like, absolutely fantastic. So check those two movies out. Please.
I'll second Influencer. I watched it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. The main girl, like, she's, there's just something, both of the movies, that's the thing that I noticed. Like, the main, like, or at least one or two of the main characters, like, very strong female presence that just, like, radiated through the movie that I loved. It was just, it was great. I'm not going to say anything more. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Gonna be a short show then.
I meant about the movie. But I think it's time for us to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news. Well, it's official. Art the Clown will return for Terrifier 3. Who's excited about this? Well, I am.
Yay! Everyone is.
Woo! Does this mean at some point I need to watch Terrifiers 1 and 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We will force you. It's okay. Yes, we will make you really understand what Stockholm Syndrome is. That's Sweden, right?
Yes.
You knew I was looking at you. Yes, so very exciting. I love the way the last one ended. Which I'm not going to talk about. I don't know why I brought it up. It's great.
That's fine.
We need more kills. More kills. What else is going on?
Alan Wake 2 got an official trailer, which is a game that I am... That's part of why I started playing Control again, was it's the same developer, Remedy Software. I love the first Alan Wake and the remastered version of it, and I cannot wait for this one. It looks fantastic. So I am, yes. I am giddy for this game to come out in October.
Yep, October. Me too. Because that gameplay they showed, that looked awesome. That forest, rain, wind, lightning.
Oh, yeah.
The environment looked great. You could tell, like, I could tell it was the same location, roughly, because the environment looks similar. But just the way everything looked, the gameplay looks fun. I loved the light mechanic in the first Alan Wake and the use of light to then weaken the enemy so you can actually kill them. And so I'm curious to see how they, I'm curious to see how they evolve that, and also how, story-wise, how it's going to tie into the greater kind of universe that they've set up, because they've already, like, Alan Wake and Control are exist in the same universe. And so I'm very curious to, and I want to see how it all ties together as well.
Yep.
Yes.
And Alan Wake important ties
the game universe together, Will.
Mm-hmm. The important part is that they're leaning more into the survival horror aspect, which is... gotten me interested a lot.
I really enjoyed our co-op time playing that. That was one of my favorite games that I've just sat there and watched you play, because there's no actual like co-op to it. But I really like to get to experience. It's kind of like being on Twitch anyway. Go watch them, because I know Dredd and Travis are probably going to be streaming it when it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a fun experience, even if you don't want to play the game. Like, the atmosphere and everything, it was great.
And another trailer that was released with the Summer Games Fest was John Carpenter's Toxic Commando. That was fun.
I saw the title before watching, and I was like, Carpenter's making a Toxic Avenger? Wait, no, Toxic Commando? Is this like a... some sort of a spin up? Nope. Nothing. No connective tissue there at all. Just Carpenter making a game, putting his name on a game. And it looks bonkers.
Completely. It's zombie killing, a whole bunch of zombie hordes, just killing them and running them down with vehicles.
I love that.
Fun.
I love that. Just mowing them down with that truck.
Yep.
Is it like that Left 4 Dead thing for Dead or the other for Dead?
No idea. Really just played a cinematic trailer. There wasn't. I don't think it was gameplay at all. And it's not supposed to be out till what, next year?
Yeah. It reminded me a lot more of was it Dead Island?
Yeah.
What's the one where they're in the mall?
Nah, Dead Rising. Yes.
Dead Island is on an island.
Yes.
But Dead Island 2, weirdly, is not on an island.
Okay.
You laughed there, Missy.
I did. But now I'm not laughing.
By the way, speaking of Toxic Avenger, there was also a game they announced that actually was the entire trauma-based stuff. So I forgot the title because it was like...
It was all
trauma-based stuff. Faye might be interested in that.
Maybe. If we knew what the name of it was, maybe.
Oh, you know, good thing there's like probably a list of all the games they announced.
Yeah, I'll look into it afterwards.
Yep. Again, we do know the title of Silent Hill Ascension that they released the trailer for.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interactive TV series.
Yes, which I need now.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to talk about bonkers. That thing looks bonkers.
I can't wait to see how the viewers make their choices and how it alters everything.
Well, I'll probably be the only viewer, so it's going to be my story.
I'll be watching it. I'll be voting.
That sounds really interesting, actually. I like that. You just made me interested in this. Maybe that's when we talk about games, that's what it should be. If you can make the person who's not going to play the game ever interested in it.
Well, it's a TV series, not a game.
Well, yeah, but you know.
Oh, you're not interested in the video games, but the TV series you'd be interested in. Got it.
Yeah, definitely. Although I think I'd be interested in also seeing a new Silent Hill game if that ever happens.
Uh huh.
Because
I think one is in the works.
There's two of them in the works at least, and a remake.
And we played through like one and two, two and three, whatever. And those are rough games.
Two is awesome.
That's like. They were letting kids play that game and see some of that stuff happen. Like, wow. Uh-huh.
Pyramid Head is friend.
Yes, he's cuddly.
Yeah, he was real friendly with the nurses, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeesh.
So, Black Mirror's on season 6?
Yep.
What's that like? Because I've never seen an episode.
It's an anthology.
Yeah, no, I know that. But, like, it's good. You like it.
I love it. It's technology-based anthology series on what could go wrong with certain technologies.
Well, that sounds horrifying.
I wonder if they'll do some AI stuff in this season.
They have in the past, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Wouldn't be breaking new ground. I haven't seen a ton of it, but what I have watched has been really good, and so I like the fact that it's on season 6. I mean, I think that's great that they are able to keep making them.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of seasons have only been like 6 episodes, but yeah, they're still great quality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend it for anybody that likes science fiction, technology, technology horror. Really good. Start from
it's
the beginning.
A lot of, it's a lot of like, sort of taking the Twilight Zone to a further level, right? Sort of a careful what you wish for. These are the things that could go wrong.
Sounds really scary. Actually.
I put it closer to Outer Limits, but same.
Yeah,
same thing.
That's I was going to say Outer Limits too. You're right. It is more of that than Twilight Zone, but Twilight Zone's one that more people are going to recognize and. but either one, like I like that. And I just speculative fiction like that's always fun. So it's definitely worth a watch. It is. It does get scary in part, like creepy and like scary.
The social media one. The social media one where it can, where it gives you how much you make your money, how much everything is based on your popularity in your social media.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Feel like I'm going to not say anything else. So The Nun 2, huh? The Nun 2.
Yeah, they released photos. Now Valak is back.
Does she look like a nun?
Yeah,
she does. Looks like a creepy nun again.
Look, I'm gonna say that it's not my favorite entry into the Conjuring universe, but it's still a fine movie. But I'm gonna watch it because I love the series so much and everything. And that nun scared the shit out of me every time I've seen her, just for existing. I don't go to the movies anymore, apparently, because that's just not who I am anymore. but I'm definitely going to watch it when it comes out on streaming.
Yeah, I mean, The Nun was... it wasn't my least favorite in the series, but it was towards the bottom. It just wasn't as good as the other Conjuring films, per se. But still, I'm with you. I'll watch it again. There's stuff about it that was interesting enough. And we've watched all the other ones, so we might as well watch that one.
I'm a completionist, if anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another note, while I was talking about all the stuff on Screambox, is because Screambox is now available on Apple TV. So if you've got an Apple TV or the Apple TV app, you can add it and stream it that way. Much easier than trying to watch it through a computer or a phone. So...
yeah,
that's how I've been enjoying it.
Must be nice living in America, where all that exists.
yeah. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm.
Look, there are positives and negatives.
Yeah, and I feel like I would be okay not having a couple of streaming services compared to, you know,
they're always around it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. A final trailer from the Summer Game Fest is Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden. It's basically a person that can go between the other world, you know, spirits and stuff, and the human world. And you play by swapping back and forth. I believe it's with a sister that is dead that allows them to swap back and forth. We just got a small little trailer, so it looked pretty cool. Lots of creepy stuff going on.
Lots of exciting stuff coming in from the Summer Game Fest, and glad that we could talk about some of it mixed in with the movies also coming out and other news.
And now for tonight's feature presentation.
This synopsis was brought to you by Nubbin's Chainsaw Shack. No matter how you spell it or slice it, we've got the chainsaw for you.
Is chainsaw one word or two?
Well, it depends. Do you mean a tool to saw chains or?
No, like in that movie with the guy wielding it and killing people.
Oh man, I love Bruce Campbell.
No, not Evil Dead. No, the one in Texas called like something massacre.
Ah, well, that's definitely one word. Unless you mean the first one, then it's two.
What?
Yeah, in the sequels, they don't hit you over the head with it, but at least they spell it right.
Is this going to be like that damn hatchet versus axe argument?
Oh, man, I missed that discussion. That was a piece of cake compared to this.
Well, yeah, at least those titles were all consistent.
Except for the fourth one.
Anyway, all this talk about cake has gotten me hungry.
Oh, well, let's stop at that KFC over there.
It's finger-sucking good.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a 1974 horror film produced and directed by Tobe Hooper, from a story and screenplay by Hooper and Kim Henkel. It stars Marilyn Burns, Paul A. Partain, Edwin Neal, Jim Sydow, and Gunnar Hansen. Yay, Gunnar Hansen. It is one of the earliest prototypes of a slasher that really is something unique all on its own. It is beloved. It is feared. It is a true classic. So how do you feel about this movie, Travis?
I mean, it is a classic, and there are classic moments in it. It's very much what it is, which is super, super, super low budget 70s, bordering on kind of that same, similar to when we watched The Last House on the Left recently, where it's in that type of a vein. It's bordering on the exploitation film, and it's super low budget. The acting is it's there. If you can call it, like, there are large stretches of this movie where there's no acting going on. There's just a lot of screaming and yelling. But it is also iconic. There are moments in this that just burn into your brain, iconic moments. It's, you know, set up to be based on a true story, which it loosely is based on an actual, series of events that happened, but not really at all.
Very, very loosely.
But no, I mean, it's a classic for a reason, and it inspired a lot of other movies, not just the sequels to it, but other horror movies in general. So, you know, for all of those things, it's great. And like I say, there are parts of this where you can see Toby Hooper knows what he's doing. It's also
Bell's Chainsaw, apparently.
It's also notoriously or famously, like, behind the scenes stuff is crazy for this movie, of just like working conditions and stuff. I'm sure we'll talk about later, but yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Faye, how do you feel about this movie?
It's a movie. I watched it. Really, the only fun times were with Leatherface. Everything else was a real drag and boring. It was just a get to it. Especially that nice long car ride after they pick up the psycho hitchhiker.
That's always fun. That's one of my favorite pastimes, is picking up psycho hitchhikers.
No. Just keep going.
It's like, but you know, you always think that when you're in a group full of people, somehow you're protected from stuff.
Also, this was the early 1970s. Picking up hitchhikers was not uncommon at the time. In fact, the story is that this movie alone dropped crime by like 18% because people stopped picking up hitchhikers. Was a trivia piece I read that I thought was pretty funny.
I believe it.
I feel like that's not something you can really.
I mean, it definitely would stop people from picking up hitchhikers.
Well, yeah, that's like saying Jaws made people not go in the water, but like,
well, it did.
It did.
Exactly. Like, that is a fact. What about sales and chainsaws? Like, what did this movie do for that? That's what I want.
Probably increased it.
You know what? You're probably right.
Yeah. But also think of all those poor hitchhikers that got killed because no one picked them up.
Yeah. Those poor murdered hitchhikers. Dreadly. How do you feel about this movie?
Well, this is definitely a classic and probably the first movie to feature epic raspberry blowing.
That's for sure.
That was some good acting there. That was
not once, but twice.
Oh, he just kept doing it. He was like
two different actors, two different characters did that.
Oh.
Franklin and the psycho hitchhiker guy, right? Mm-hmm. Was it Psycho Hitchhiker?
Just Hitchhiker.
That quiz implied.
Sorry.
No, this is a movie that, it's fine. There's some great scenes. Stuff that's stuck in my head for, well, ever since I first saw it. Most likely that one door bang when he shuts it. That's just, yep.
You'll never forget that.
But overall, it's quite slow and boring. So probably one of the movies where I'd like to remake more.
Mm-hmm. But also the remake is well done and doesn't take away from the original. So it's like, I can understand why you'd like the remake more. This is slow. I didn't watch this until later. I say later in life, like I'm an 80-year-old person, but yeah, I didn't watch this till later. And when I watched it, I had seen so many other things before this that this was slow. And when we got to the part where, you know, his family gets mad at him and stuff, I laughed. I remember laughing as a teenager, like, ha ha ha. You know, he's murdering people, but his dad is mad at him. You know, like, I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
He did destroy that door. Okay.
Yeah. And also, I was like,
apparently, they're actually brothers. It's not his dad.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, why not?
Yeah, I didn't know that at the time. At the time, I was just like, it's his dad.
I hadn't realized that till just recently.
And I think it wasn't until I saw the remake that's what got me, because they took this movie and amped it up, and it's so much faster, so much louder than the original, and like that scared the shit out of me. So eventually I went back and watched this movie again, and I can appreciate it for being like this. I don't know. Like I said, as I get older, I can watch more psychological stuff and like these slower movies, and it doesn't bother me as much as it once did.
Well, the movie
I want to watch every year. It's not like my favorite kind of, you know, it's not something that is endearing, but it's definitely, it holds a place in my heart now, in my little horror heart.
Well, the remake, or is there, there's two remakes now? I can't remember.
Oh, there's many, but I mostly mean the one with, Jessica Biel, was it?
The 2000 one, yeah.
The thing with the remake is it's much more polished. It has more budget. It had more money to do stuff, and just a better look. It's 20 something years newer, almost 30 years newer. But part of what makes this work for me is that it isn't slick. It isn't polished. It's very grimy. It's much like how Last House on the Left was very affecting because of the low budget and because of the kind of amateurish nature of the acting. That
it's a grindhouse film.
Yeah, this is more art house thing than it is slasher movie in a lot of ways. It's not nearly as gory as is perceived in terms of on screen gore, but everything is implied and shown just off screen, which in a lot of ways makes it more difficult to go through, because your brain starts filling in what you're not seeing while you're hearing it. You're hearing a chainsaw and this woman screaming as she's hanging on a meat hook in the background, but you're not seeing the chainsaw enter into it. So your brain is making that happen. There's a lot of film study stuff going on here. You can tell Toby Hooper went to film school and learned a lot of those types of tricks and filmmaking things. And that it also, because of the slow burn nature of it, for me, what it does is like you said, you know, the scene where they pick up a hitchhiker and now you're stuck in the back of that van with this incredibly awkward, weird, freaking out guy.
Yeah.
And you're just stuck there and you can't get away from it. And
but he doesn't start out that way. It's like it's almost like normal. They're like, he's talking to Franklin and they're having this perfectly, in my mind, by the way, normal. I know they're talking about like killing cows and stuff, but like it just seems perfectly normal. And then all of a sudden it starts to devolve very slowly. And that's normal, like, in Texas. Trapped.
But again, that's the thing. You're stuck there. You can't get out of it now. And the movie doesn't let you get away from it either. It doesn't take you away from it. You are just there in the back of that van with this guy as he gets progressively weirder and creepier. And, you know, he's got the big mark on his face, and then he grabs the knife and just cuts his own hand for whatever reason, just because why not?
Bananas.
Can I just point out, very good looking blood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, potentially both of it was really
his blood. So, but like, that's what makes this movie is very uncomfortable for that. It's the same thing with the dinner scene when she wakes up and now you're stuck at that table and that scene just keeps going and it doesn't stop. It doesn't let up. It's just a lot of screaming and yelling. She's screaming incoherently. They're mocking her, or Hitchhiker is mocking her and yelling at, other brother, and Leatherface is just making noises. He doesn't speak throughout the whole movie. It's just very like, awkward and uncomfortable.
Exactly. So like as a kid, I'm just like, oh, this movie's not like, it's not fast enough. It's not like doing whatever. And then like now I'm just like, I sit there and I can feel how horrifying that would be to be sitting there, you know, and just not knowing what they're going to do, waiting for them to kill me or to do whatever they're going to do, which is eat me, by the way. which I guess she doesn't know right away yet. And it's just, oh, it's very uncomfortable. I can feel how hot it must have been or how hot it's supposed to be. I can feel it through the film. Mm-hmm. I was like sweating, although it's actually hot here. So maybe that's what it was, but
well, yeah,
it feels gross.
Again, we'll probably go into it more, but the shooting conditions were not great for this movie. Especially the dinner scene.
No, but you know what it's time for?
The 13.
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or our favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on and in real time, because this is real life. And they just wanted to nom.
Nom, 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 nom.
Disenfranchised mentally ill hillbillies. Nom, 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 nom,
nom. Number one, kitty cat.
No.
Thank God there was no kitty cat. I would have cried.
There were many animals. But no,
but that opening shot of the armadillo that they just stay on, which was the production designer actually taxidermied an armadillo for that shot. A lot of like all of the bone furniture and all that stuff in the house, the production designer, prop master, whatever, did all of that. He would just go around to like farms collecting real animal bones.
Jesus Christ.
And that was one of them. Cause that was one thing, was the opening shot of the movie. Like the opening of the movie is that camera sound and those really creepy looking things. And then the corpse in the cemetery. And we're just going to stay on it. We're just going to, we're just going to keep looking at this for
creepy,
uncomfortably long time.
I love that camera sound, by the way. That is very pleasing in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was having like little ASMR spasms from it.
Yep.
I was like, it's better than the slurping of fingers.
That's true.
I can't take that. Number two, Volkswagen.
Oh yeah. Yay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were two dead ones.
Two dead Beatles.
Yeah. That's funny, actually. Because Beatles are bugs.
Buggies.
Yeah. But their van was a Ford, so they deserve what they got, really. Although that was a cool van. I've never
It's the old Ford. I think it's Ford E100.
I was like, did you ever want to get a van like that and just go on a trip with friends or something?
To Texas?
Like,
no.
Even though I watch only horror movies where this happens and everyone dies in these situations, I still would have loved to have that experience of like getting the van together with friends and driving.
We did that a couple times. I had a friend of mine that had a Chevy conversion van. So it had like nice seats in the back and a, I don't think it was working, but there was like a TV back there. There was, it was like almost like a camper, but not quite. And we would take that on road trips to go to like the IMAX. Before we had an IMAX theater in town here, we would drive, you know, 100 miles and just pile everybody in the van and drive 100 miles down, have lunch, and then see a movie in IMAX.
Aww.
That was always fun.
Yeah. I think about it. Because when I was young, I wanted to go across America. And now I don't. But I still think about driving, getting the new Volkswagen van thing, the one that's coming out in 2024. That thing is beautiful.
Yeah.
Number three. Scary location, time of the year. Summer camp, beach.
Texas. Middle of nowhere, Texas.
Texas. That's a scary location, in my opinion.
Abandoned house.
Time of the year? Nowhere. Summer. Good job. Y'all did good. Did this movie create it? I think so. Let's just say they did. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Created Texas. Didn't exist before this movie.
Nope.
Number four. Meta horror, fourth wall breaks, mentioning the title. Technically, weapon title, location title, mentioning the title.
Yeah, they kind of did in the crawl, the opening crawl.
Yeah, the opening crawl, narrated by
John Larroquette.
John Larroquette.
I love him. I love that. Did you read the trivia of what they paid him for that?
You read the trivia of what they paid everybody for this? Because it wasn't much.
I know, but his was funny. They paid him a joint. A marijuana joint. I thought that was hilarious and totally 70s. And I love that. I've been watching, because I love Night Court. And I watched the new Night Court series. Which I'm digging only because he's on it. Because he's just fucking
good. Yeah. Of the episodes I saw, it was him carrying the show.
Yeah. Not that everyone else isn't good, too. They're good in their own way. He's just like, he's the shining thing. He's the shining thing.
That's a different movie.
Those are two different movies, actually. The shining thing. It's winter in both of them. It's winter all the time. But the little alien has an axe.
Or a hatchet.
And then it crawls. Or a hatchet, yes. Whatever. So... no fourth wall breaks, but there are moments of pure black comedy in this movie, which is, it's very, just so weird. The whole scene with the hammer and trying to get Grandpa to use the hammer on her head and just dropping it. And it's like, it's such a weird, weird scene.
It's such a weird scene. And then you learn that they shot it in the middle of the day. Well, they shot it over like 26 or 27 hour shooting day because the guy in the grandpa makeup refused to ever put that back on. So they had like one day, they basically got him in the makeup and they're like, we're going to shoot until we have what we need because he'll never put this back on. They had blackout curtains over everything because it was supposed to be at night. It's Texas in the summer. So it's like 120 degrees in that room. And they have meat laying out that's rotting. So everybody, like, it smells, it had to have smelled awful in there. And I also read that Gunnar Hansen wasn't, they weren't letting him take the mask off. Because something where he said that Tobe Hooper told him, you can take the mask off when you take a 15-minute break. And then they would only go on, like, 5-minute breaks. So he never got to take the mask off. So he's sitting in that thing. He's sweating. Everybody's sweating. It smells awful in there. And I think at one point he said, like, when they did the finger cut, he had stopped caring about the welfare of his fellow actors. He was just like going crazy. And so then you're shooting that scene and it's just a bunch of people yelling and screaming at each other. And he's trying to make grandpa do the hammer and whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
just that they actually cut her finger is just wow. But wow, that is bananas. That would never happen today.
Oh, no.
That would never happen today.
No, this is the type of stuff you hear about in movies from the 70s where like they wouldn't. I mean, they wouldn't even do a 27-hour day today. There's no union would let them do that.
Almost let alone because there's only 24 hours in a day. So.
But let alone having that type of heat and those conditions for that period of time.
Speaking of mentioning the title, I'm just going to say one more thing that the title is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Only one person is killed with a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case.
Two people get cut with a chainsaw, but only one's killed with one.
I'm pretty sure at some point everybody gets the chainsaw because they got to be cut into pieces for the, you know, to fit in the oven. Roast it up. Number 5. Archetype characters. Crazy Ralph from Friday the 13th, Randy from Scream, Dick Halloran from The Shining, Disappearing Shirleys, Creepy Clowns, Creepy Kids. Yeah, we added that. Remember that? Disappearing Shirleys.
You remembered.
Yes, I remembered. I do sometimes. Disappearing Shirleys.
Well, you had Grandpa Corpse.
Was just taking kind a nap a, most of the time.
Just sort of there.
Franklin the Jerk.
Oh, Franklin the Jerk. That was another one. Is he stayed in character the whole time. And like Gunnar Hansen hated him while they were making the movie. It wasn't until years later when they met up again at like a convention or something, I think. Or another movie or whatever. And Paul wasn't in his character. And they were like, oh, okay, you're not that bad after all. The dad / older brother, Cook, is kind of that crazy character that you don't know. Yeah. Tries to stop him from going, like tries to warn him off from going and then ends up being part of the clan later.
Yeah, I have my theories on that.
What, that he was trying to convince them to go over there?
No, I mean, he was probably trying to scare them away so that he wouldn't have to deal with it because he doesn't want to be a part of it. And I also, the ending with the pickup truck, that's the same pickup truck he was driving that she got into at the end.
No, it was a different truck.
You sure? Pretty sure they were both blue Fords.
He was driving a very, very, very old pickup truck. And that one was not.
Okay.
Oh, Crazy Hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Crazy Hitchhiker. You know, this is like one of the first slashers as well. So there wasn't... I would be remiss if we didn't point out that a lot of the stuff in this movie created the tropes. And that's kind of fucking awesome. That's the biggest reason why we talk about this movie.
Yeah, it influenced... so much.
Yeah, exactly. And like Leatherface is unlike any other character. And yet like there are so many characters like that now or, you know, since then.
This iteration of Leatherface too, what I liked about it was you don't know anything about him. He's just this huge guy throwing a chainsaw around, killing everything that moves basically and not speaking. And it's
6'7".
Yeah, he was 6'4", and then he was wearing lifts.
Was it
6'4"? Make him 6'7".
And he can run.
Faster than
Crooklyn
Sally.
Shit. With a chainsaw. I don't know if the chainsaw was real, but still, like,
yes,
that's extra weight.
It was.
Jesus.
Because that last shot where he's just flinging it around, he's wearing that mask. He can't see. With that mask on, he's got a live chainsaw that he's just swinging around and like he almost hit the camera guy or the cinematographer.
Yeah. That camera got close. Like, yep.
But that's the thing about this that makes it also so creepy is that you don't know anything about him. Mm-hmm. He's just this giant,
childlike creature.
And then if you pay attention to and you see like the different masks that he wears, because he wears three different masks, and he's different mm-hmm. in all of them. Like yeah, Gunnar Hansen played him differently. And I love the interview I saw where he was talking about that they decided that Leatherface himself has no personality. And so he has to wear the mask in order to take whatever personality of whichever mask he's wearing. So he puts on the second mask and the apron, and he's kind of almost like a homemaker wife. And yeah. That's why he, you know, his gibberish mumbling is different in that scene when they come home, and he's like trying to point out that no, everything's fine. They're in the freezer type stuff, which is, and he's playing the character differently than when they're sitting around the dinner table versus when he's just the killing machine. And I like that. I love that kind of stuff. That's really interesting in a movie that's literally just about a bunch of people getting killed because cannonballs.
Number 6, pointless boobies, weird wings, Moonies, Fanny, nothing.
No. Nope.
Honorable mention to Pam's red shorts.
There were a lot of butt shots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently Toby Hooper wanted to make this movie and get a PG rating back in 74. He was trying for that.
And he did not get that.
No. It took several attempts to get to an R.
Exactly.
But so yeah, no nudity at all. That shot though of the red shorts, that iconic shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's some, like, this movie has some really good cinematography, some really good shot setup. There's like a setting sun in the background of one shot. There's the hitchhiker getting beat with the broomstick in front of the truck where it's at night and all you get are the lights from the truck. But that shot there going underneath the swing and then tracking and following her, which was apparently a last minute idea. It wasn't part of their like shot list. They're just like, this might be kind of cool. And they did that. And I mean, it's iconic. It's a great looking shot. Not just because small red shorts on her butt.
Hey,
didn't hurt it.
It didn't hurt at all. Yeah,
didn't hurt. Number 7. Retelling the legend and or establishing the movie's rules. Breaking Randy's rules.
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 Well, you go in that house and you die.
Basically.
No, but you know, even though these are like the stipulations that we go by, like you can always add stuff wherever. So I'm going to add this, that I like that the radio gives us like this backstory of the world.
Yeah. Cemeteries,
which I never listened to until this time.
Grave robbing,
mm-hmm.
bodies being mutilated and missing or rearranged. Turns out the crazy hitchhiker guy was doing it all.
Oh
no.
How could he? That bastard. And as Travis said earlier, based on...
Well, I mean, loosely inspired by Ed Gein, who was a real life person in Wisconsin, who was less of a... He wasn't really like a serial killer, like a lot of people would claim that he was. He did murder a couple of people, but his...
I'm sorry.
But it wasn't... It was like two people, but it wasn't like a serial killer in the sense of what you would think of. His thing was more of grave robbing and the furniture, like the building of furniture out of bones and skin and stuff like that. That was a big part of it. So there was inspiration there, but obviously, like, there wasn't an actual family in Texas of cannibals killing people.
Oh, there's not probably is, yes, but
it's a whole bunch of free material just waiting in the ground.
Yeah. Also, skin is excellent for lamps.
But it was based on the same Scottish family that The Hills Have Eyes is based on as well. Like, it's slightly on the Sawney Bean. Mm-hmm. And that
there's
was like
a little bit of that in there, yeah.
Possible family, like, what do you call it? It could be real. It could be not, whatever. That they were like cannibals with incest and stuff. It's a lot more prevalent in The Hills Have Eyes, but, that is some scary ass shit, Scotland. What the hell?
Yeah.
Just reading that and how, like, the dude had, like, this many children, this many grandchildren, this many great-grandchildren, and, like, realizing that they're all related to each other.
I mean, usually children are all related.
No. I mean, they're all related to each other.
I know.
Brother, cousin.
Yeah.
Sister, mother.
Number 8. Dance sequence, montage sequence, flapjacks.
Flapjacks?
Flashbacks.
Okay.
Well, right. I mean, we did get Leatherface dancing with his chainsaw.
Yep. Yes, at the end.
100% my favorite beautiful dance of this movie.
And also apparently improv of just Gunnar Hansen being pissed.
Number 9. Scary score, spooky soundtrack.
I mean, there isn't. That's the thing. Like, all of the music in the movie is from the radio. That's it. There isn't music. There isn't a score for this movie, which in a lot of ways piles on and adds to that creepy real life feel.
They used
sort of the low budget thing.
Only the sounds that an animal would hear in a slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. Those are the only sounds you hear in the movie. To which Dreadley said to me, you don't remember what you asked me? He said, how do they know?
Yeah. Did they have an animal cow consultant? A cow sultant?
They probably did. A cow sultant. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Is the cow's name Melissa?
No, they probably recorded it inside of a slaughterhouse and then used that audio.
I prefer my version.
Well, I know some of it was industrial sounds that Toby Hooper recorded, I think, in his house. And I think they also went to a slaughterhouse. But
I doubt his house was a slaughterhouse now.
Yes, his house is a slaughterhouse now.
But I do like that they did that. Because, again, it just adds to it. It adds to a creepy factor of, like, that's the only things you're hearing. And you don't have music to inform you how you should feel in each scene. No.
None of that suspense of like, ooh, there's something going to happen. Like, there's nothing. Nope. There's nothing. And that's what makes it so shocking. Like, when you see him, because it's not like, bum, bum, bum. It's not like Psycho music. It's just like, hi, I'm here and I have a hammer.
Yeah, it's that visceral thing of putting you in the situation and then not letting you out of it and giving you nothing to go on other than what they want to show you.
And that's what makes that door slam so good.
Yeah. It's just God.
Bonk. Some shaking with the legs. And bonk.
Oh, God. Yeah. Shaking. That's just.
Well, they were just showing that indeed the gun is better than the hammer to kill someone.
Well, no. The hammer, because the gun takes jobs away. Remember, that's the most important thing. If I've taught you anything, you don't want to take those jobs away.
We do not want any more disenfranchised cannibals.
That is for damn sure. Also, the music on the radio is all like kind of like happy stuff. That's also weird over him like cutting his hand and all that.
Yeah.
So I think he did a good job with the music. Number 10. That scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit.
The first kill. The first kill of the movie when he stumbles, when he goes into the house like an idiot. And
yep.
Starts moving forward like half running because he hears the pig squeal and slips. And then boom, there's Leatherface staring down at him. Big motherfucker with a hammer. And just that whole, and it's so quick. He stumbles. You see Leatherface. He hits him once and he starts to convulse. He hits him the second time. And it's that moment right there. The second hit, picking the body up and just throwing it to the side and then slamming that metal door shut is just perfect in its execution. It's so good.
Sets up the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Because now, before when you're like, you kids are idiots, now you're like, don't go in that fucking house.
Yeah.
GTFO.
But they're not listening. They're not listening.
Yeah, well, they should have listened to the guy at the gas station.
The jump scare of Leatherface in the dark with the chainsaw when he gets...
Franklin.
When he gets Franklin.
That got me this time when I was watching it. I literally jumped. I was like, oh, shit. I forgot that happened.
Yeah, and that's one where the low budget makes it more effective as well, because they don't have lights to set up in the woods. So they can't shoot, you know, overexpose the light and then darken it. So you can't see what the hell's going on for half of it. They're just running in the dark. And that's something you just got in those late 70s, early 80s movies. I remember the first Friday the 13th has a lot of shots like that where it's just dark. You can't see anything. So all you've got is that flashlight, and then all of a sudden, boom, in the flashlight, there's Leatherface, and it's just, hi, how you doing? And then stabbing him with a chainsaw.
Yes, really multiple good. Times. Holy shit. Oh, every sound of like the sledgehammer or the hammer is like that cracking the anything. Just those sounds. Mm-hmm. The flash bulbs, actually, like that Dread is in love with, I find those kind of scary, actually. I mean, I like them. They're not, once again, they're not, you know, finger sucking sounds.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it kind of scary because you associate it with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yes. Oh yeah, of course. It's not like, like I remember old timey, you know, picture taken and like, you know, but yeah, it's definitely this movie. It's John Larroquette's voice. It's that whole, it's forever in there, forever. Flash bulbs. You can't not hear that and see this movie. That's effective.
I mean, the entire dinner scene, including sucking.
Yes. Knowing that was like, they really cut her finger and that was real blood also, that made that scene a lot more gross. Was that guy sucking real blood?
Uh-huh.
Do we know that?
Probably.
Have no not idea.
Sure. All I was thinking at that scene was the hammer. I assume they used a real hammer. So whenever Granddaddy drops it, there's like a couple of shots where it drops in the barrel thingy. And I'm like, that's just going to hit her head. By accident falling, and that's gonna hurt.
Oh yeah,
it did hit her the one time. He got her once, real tiny bit. But. And also, like when she's running and she gets cut on a bush for real, and so most of the blood that's on her is hers. So when we say that the blood looks good in this movie, it's because a lot of it was real blood. This poor woman's blood. It's crazy.
She bled for this movie.
Also, we talked about Gunnar Hansen running, right? But, like, I read also that Marilyn, she wasn't a fast runner at all, and he kept catching her. And I was like, really?
Like, he's wearing 3-inch lifts in his shoes, carrying a chainsaw, and he's still significantly faster than her. There's one of the shots when he's chasing her through the woods, you see him, like, stop and just kind of swing the chainsaw at some tree branches to like stall, and then he keeps running after her.
Which just looks like taunting, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was chasing her and was like, huh, this garden needs a bit of work. I'll get to it right now.
His ADD brain kicks in.
Yeah.
I'll just make mention, I went to a convention like quite a while back, here in Jersey, and I met Gunnar Hansen. Really nice guy. And he gave me a pin. I have to this day somewhere in one of my boxes from when I moved, but a little chainsaw pin that lights up around it.
Oh, nice.
And it's just the cutest thing ever. It's one of my favorite things, and it has a signature on it and stuff. So never got to meet Toby Hooper, but that would have been nice. Number 11. Someone does stupid shit, or name your favorite trope.
Where should we begin?
Oh, let's go in a house one by one.
The main stupid thing. Yes.
Well,
you were told.
I've I figure the main stupid thing is going to the house to begin with. Yeah, it's my dad's old place or something like that. I don't remember the exact thing from the guy in the wheelchair, but
yeah, they were going to their grandparents' house, which was like, I guess in here.
That's abandoned and falling apart. And why? Why would you do that?
I mean, asking why for this movie is kind of a fool's errand, right? Like, we're given nothing. We have no idea why they were going there. They just, you know, it was the 70s. There was nothing to do. There was no internet yet. Well, like, no streaming movies.
It was like there was the gas shortage going on. So it's almost like, why are you driving if there's a gas shortage? You could end up stuck wherever you are, right? I don't know too much about that kind of stuff. Gas was cheap as hell, which made me jealous.
Yeah,
if they had it.
Yeah, if they could find it, true. But still, like, now it's like, you know, five times as much as that. So they're going back to their grandparents' house. That makes no sense. They went to go look at the granddaddy's grave over wherever that was in the beginning of the movie. And they're going to stop by the house. And I think they were just planning on, like, hanging out in the house and, like, there's no parents and they were going to, whatever, mess around, smoke weed, I guess.
Little raspberries.
Yeah.
It seemed like a fun thing to do. The house looked like shit, though, and they didn't seem to mind, especially those spiders. Fuck that.
Oh, no. Why you have to bring that up?
Because it's an important plot point of the movie. It's not. There's just fucking spiders when he walks in that room, and that was fucking spidery.
Yeah, no, didn't like that.
Also, if you find a toot, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just use it just to scare your friend there.
Yeah.
Don't worry why it's there or who it's from. It's fine.
Here, found this.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, this is just it's a bunch of young, stupid people doing stupid things in the middle of Texas because there was nothing else. Well, I mean, no cell phone, so they can't, like, keep in touch with each other. So when they wander off, they're just gone.
Yeah, gone permanently. So
they have to wander off one by one to find each other, which doesn't work. Like,
we would never survive. But the gas station guy warned them not to go in the house, not to go into strangers' houses, I should say.
Right.
And they wandered into a stranger's house, and that was the problem. Mm-hmm. If they had just gone to their stupid, decrepit house and stayed there, they might have lived, maybe, who knows, probably not.
But if they hadn't have done what he told them not to do, they would still be alive.
You're going to go on record as saying that.
Spiders probably would have killed them, but
they have a significant increase in the potential to stay alive if they don't go into that house, if they don't go near that house.
Yeah. Well, that place did not look like he was, and he was asking them to stay for dinner. So,
oh yeah,
who, the hitchhiker?
No,
the
guy at the gas station.
Oh yeah,
they wanted them to stay there and stay for dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to stay there and have some barbecue.
Yeah.
Which was nice people, sausages. By the way. The barbecue was people. Let's remember that. People barbecue. Gross.
Speaking of that, and the fact that she ran from that house all the way back to that gas station.
That's a good point.
that's pretty good running if they had to use a car to get there in the first place.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we don't know how far they drove.
That is true also. We don't know anything. Nothing is. There's no time or distance or nothing. It's like a map without a key. Number 12. Final girl. Fuck yeah. Sally Hardesty is our final girl. She escapes with her life, but not her sanity. Let us remember that. She is fucked forever. Done.
Riding in the back of that pickup.
Yeah, she got away. She cannot run at all, fast or steadily. But she can jump out a fucking window like a son of a gun. Holy shit.
Not once, but twice. Like, with no hesitation. She jumps out that second floor window without a thought. She just goes up the stairs and just swan dives right through that window.
I was just like, that was the greatest thing I've seen. Yeah, fuck those people. I'm
going to die instantly by going out of it, or two, I'm going to get away.
Yeah. It's one or the other. Like, I'm taking my shot. Because those, like, the longer she was with them, the crazier she was going to be. And she just got crazy enough to jump out.
Also, now that you mentioned jumping out, there's one other stupid thing. That truck driver that comes and rescues her at the end. And then they get into the truck. And for some reason, instead of just driving, they get out the other side of the truck and go. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was why. Hit the gas pedal. Go.
You're talking the semi truck driver, though.
Yeah. So
you don't just get into that and slam on the gas pedal and go. Those trucks don't quite work that way.
But
it's dumb that he got out, yes. But he also had a 6'7" dude in a human skin mask with a chainsaw chasing him.
But he was only scratching the door.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't know that, though.
Can we just remember one thing? Dude got away. He threw a wrench at Leatherface, knocked him out, and ran away, never to be heard from again. So maybe we shouldn't question what he did.
Some say he's still running to this day.
Yeah, like, who knows if he would have, like, stuck the chainsaw through the door or something like that, which they probably couldn't afford, and that's why he didn't. But, you know, like, that dude got away, which is surprising as hell. But that's an ending of a movie. And then, you know, just cut to black. But Sally is, she's the foundation. She's the foundation of the final girl. Final girl.
Yep.
And she's wonderful. It's so sad how many people from this movie we've lost now, which is making me feel my age again. You know, Gunnar Hansen, Toby Hooper, Marilyn.
Paul played Franklin. He passed away.
Okay. So Franklin gone. Yeah. That's sad.
Well, it is coming up on 40 years.
Huh?
It is coming up on 40 years.
40? Right? It's 50.
It's coming up on 50 years.
50. Thank you. 50. What?
What year is this?
50 years. Holy Christmas trees. No, but we lost Toby way, way too young. Like, that was, what was that, early 2000s or something?
2013, I think.
Like, I'm not saying he wasn't, like, I think he was 50s or something, or 60s. Well, same thing with Wes, even though Wes was, like, close to 70. I still think that was too young.
No, Toby was 74.
Oh, was he?
No, it was 2017 when he died.
Oh. Why did that feel like way earlier?
6 years ago. Because time has no meaning anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I thought he died before Wes. Jesus Christ. I wonder what other movies Toby's been making then in the years since they thought he was dead.
Well, he hadn't made anything since 2013, so.
Oh, maybe that's why. Number 13. The Savini Scale of Gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many chainsaws to the Franklin?
Bloody fingers to the man.
Oh, I hate you. Out of 10 do we give this movie? It's real blood, remember that. Like, extra points for authenticity.
Yeah, the authenticity of it. The fact, like, I will say that scene where, what's her name, Pam, stumbles into the room and it's got all the feathers on the floor and there's all the bones hanging around and that crazy skeletal futon. that stuff was really good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And really creepy. And then, of course, the Leatherface masks I thought were really well done. Because they're just so haphazard and so slapdash, and it's the perfect look for it. The face lamp during the dinner scene. Yeah. It was creepy. I mean, and then you throw in the fact that people actually bled for the movie. Like, they really cut her finger. I'm going to give it 6.
I'm going to give it a 7 for my girl, Marilyn, for her blood.
I'll concur, 7.
Then I shall give it an 8. So we get a 7 average. Ha-ha.
You know what? You've convinced me. I'll go to a 7.
Well, then I'll drop to a 7.
No, you can say it an 8.
Okay. Because honestly, there's nothing wrong. Like, there's not a lot shown. But what is shown was mostly real then.
Yeah.
So it's all, it looks good. It does its job, I'd say. So, yeah,
like, everything looks wrong.
Just really like great. The chainsaw cuts on Leatherface.
Yeah.
On his leg.
Oh, God. That, yes. So that was a real chainsaw hitting his leg. They just put a metal plate and then some meat on top of it. And, like, apparently it burned him because the friction from the chainsaw was heating up the metal plate.
I believe it.
But they used a real chainsaw over a real dude's leg. Like, that's fucked up.
Oh, shit. We put it on the wrong leg.
Yeah. Oh, there's a metal plate on there. It's fine. Ugh.
He's fine. It's fine. We all lived.
Ocean nightmare.
Yeah. It was a different time back then.
It very much was. Like, when he, in the beginning, when Hitchhiker Dude lights the picture on fire with the gunpowder. they were just sitting in the back of a van lighting gunpowder. Like, come on. It's crazy.
Oh, you don't want this picture. Okay, it's gone.
Also, $2 for that picture. Good Lord.
Especially in that time.
$1974? That's a lot of money.
1974.
Good Lord, it's a lot of money.
So that will wrap up the 13 for this episode. Body count is math.
5.
5. We got 5. I will say that this movie had some really good solitude shots for me. Big shots of emptiness and sadness and, like, depression. And I don't know how to describe. Like, it was, like, dead. Like, just, like... like, society.
Especially that opening.
Like, yeah, just the shot. Like, desert.
Yeah.
Not apocalypse. What do they call it? I can't think of the word. Depression or recession. Or it just looked
dystopian. Like a
ghost town.
Yeah, dystopian.
Yeah, dystopian. That's a good word. Yeah. But it also, it made me nostalgic to watch X again. Because it's got, like, that same kind of summer, empty feel.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lake and an alligator in X, so.
Ooh.
And now we'll play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator, Dreadly. Play the clip, Dreadly.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever saw in here?
Oh, kid, I have seen weird things come and I have seen weird things go. But the weirdest thing I ever saw just had to cap it off.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Let me ask you a question, kid. Did you see that movie, Night of the Living Dead?
Can you guess that movie? Give it a try on Twitter. And don't forget to tag the show. And if no one guesses it, we'll still post our gift clues. So be sure to follow us at Gore Podcast. First person to guess it correctly gets a shout out on the next episode. And you can be like nobody because we voted on the last thing to do this movie, and here we are. Emails. We got an email. Ooh, exciting.
Ooh.
Yes.
Was it spam?
Is it spam? Yes. I don't like spam. This letter comes from everyone's favorite Squatch. Could have just asked in Discord, but I thought an email would be nice. With all of these older franchises getting sequels lately, what's everybody's favorite horror franchise? I would say they need to have at least 3 films to minimum to qualify. Mine would have to be Nightmare on Elm Street. I thoroughly enjoy all the films. even part two. So do I, Squatch. And if I see them on, I will stop and watch. The combination of horror and comedy that Freddy brings is priceless. Love the show and looking forward to Shark Month, Squatch. Well,
y'all can go first.
Well, maybe no Wicket's answer.
We know your answer.
We know all our answers. Fine. Hellraiser.
Chucky.
I go Friday the 13th.
What?
Yeah, everyone's surprised. Look, it's not that I don't, like, I love the Insidious series. I love the Conjuring series. I love so many different series of movies. But if I had to pick one that is, like, my thing that I've watched the most, the thing that I will watch if it's on, no matter what.
I mean, honestly, that's Chucky and Nightmare on Elm Street for me. But as yes. Nightmare on Elm Street was already picked, I go Chucky.
Yeah.
Although I say that and I would totally watch a Chucky if it was on, and a Nightmare on Elm Street if it was on, and a Hellraiser if it's on.
That's just it. Like, it's tough for me because my favorite single film of all of them is Halloween, mm-hmm. but that series gets so convoluted at parts as a series whole. I'm probably going to go more Friday the 13th for the series.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, like, it just has the most,
Well, and consistently they're more like
valuable, not valuable. I can't think of the words anymore.
When the Halloween series at its peak, which is the first Halloween movie and Halloween 2018, I think are better than any of the Friday the 13th movies for me personally. However, 4, 5, and 6 of the Halloween franchise is really rough. And so that hurts it a lot. As well as Resurrection is fucking awful. Friday the 13th. I'll go there.
Yes.
I will also agree that Friday the 13th is the best series overall on average. Because Hellraiser also has a couple of poopy.
Hellraiser does have a few, but Chucky, the only bad Chucky is the remake.
I will give it that, like, the Seed of Chucky and Bride of Chucky are my least favorite of the series, and they're still not terrible, but and Friday the 13th it's always like Jersey. It reminds me of where I'm from technically or whatever.
And you mentioned Conjuring. That's a great series. I mean, honestly, especially those first two Conjuring films are so good.
Mm-hmm. It's a good series. I'm going to get you to watch the Insidious stuff and see how you feel about that. Insidious, right?
I do want to see those. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not forget Fast and the Furious series.
I don't think
those are pretty scary.
Terrifying. Yeah. They're pretty scary when it comes to physics.
Yeah, that is. I did want to get on those because I've only seen Tokyo Drift, and that was by accident.
Oh, evil watched them all. That's fine.
It's like, this guy's cute. What is this movie? How does he make car move like that?
Only ever seen the first one, and I've seen it now twice. And that's it. Yeah. I saw it in 2001. No. Whatever year. Because it came out in 01. I think I saw it in 02, and then I saw it this past week. So.
I hope we answered your question, Squatch. If you'd like to be like Squatch, an awesome person, and email the show, you can do that by emailing us at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. We have a Patreon, which, you know, is really cool. And you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/gore13. And then you can join the Discord and ask us really weird questions or, you know, cool questions or funny comments or yell at us or something. Don't yell at us. Why would you yell at us? Come and hang out with us.
Yell at us to say how awesome we are.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. We also have a website by the lovely Bumbats. So check us out, gorepodcast.com, in case you didn't want to listen to anything else that I just said. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, feel free to leave a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. I mean, you can leave any number of stars, but stars.
Stars.
But until next episode, Travis, where can people find you?
Anywhere on the internet as TV's Travis, whether that be Discord, Twitter, Instagram, Friendster, MySpace, or YouTube, youtube.com/@TV's Travis as well, or TV'sTravis.com.
OnlyFans?
No, not yet.
Soon.
Faye, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Chibi Phelan.
And Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
Well, just head on over to thedreadzone.com, where you'll find links to everything I am. So, mostly Twitch, I guess, for now. Come and join me. And where can people find you, kitten of wickedness?
You can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at WickedKitten13. Thank you everyone for listening, and I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight.